Our choir has a selection for us this morning, so we will turn it over to them. This week, when the pastor communicated with Vicki and me, he told us to take care of the service. And he was sure that we would do something that would be appropriate and that would be meaningful on this Easter day. So we've decided to, we're going to have some Easter reflections and Susie and Vicki are going to bring those, and then in between those, we're going to allow you to choose a hymn, not the last one, He Lives, which we're doing later on, but choose another hymn that's appropriate to the day, and we will sing that in between. So first, I'm going to call Susie West up, and Susie has some Easter reflections for us.
Good morning. Happy Easter to all of you smiling faces out there. The Lord indeed has risen. These are some of my Easter reflections. Christ's death on an old rugged cross was because God loved each of us so much that he desired for each of us and for all mankind, that no man perish. But man was separated from God due to disobedience. And have you ever questioned yourself? If God created man in his image, why did he give us the ability to disobey or to even be sinful? Well, God gave us a gift, the gift of freedom. The freedom to think and to choose. And oftentimes disobeying him by choosing evil over good. But God longs for us to love and to serve him, not out of compulsion, but out of our desire and love for him to do so. God's word is a true love story, a story and promise of forgiveness and eternal life. It's a light in the darkness, showing us our way back to him. God knew in his heart the only way to redeem the souls of men from sin was through the shed blood and sacrifice of his only one and perfect Son, Jesus Christ. We reflect that the manger in Bethlehem is empty, that manger that once held a tiny baby, God's perfect Son, and that began the fulfillment of God's love story and promise. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus knelt to pray, he displayed another example of perfect love. And Jesus had a choice. But he knelt there to pray, and he agonized and sweat drops of blood, knowing what was before him. Yet his words from the garden displayed his love again. When he prayed, "Father, thy will be done, not mine." The empty cross fulfills the promise of forgiveness as God's sinless Son carried our sins to the cross with him. Those sins originated in the Garden of Eden by the eating of the fruit of a tree. And Christ died on a cross made from wood of a tree for our forgiveness. And what were Christ's last words as he hung on that tree or on that cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We know the tomb is empty. Christ's resurrection fulfills the promise of life eternal for all those who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. I say to you, loved ones, today, God loves you. God needs you, and you need God. God commands that we forgive and love one another just as he has forgiven and loves us. Yes, the manger is empty, the cross is empty, and the tomb is empty. Absolute forgiveness was made sure, and the promise of God's reunion, or people's reunion, with their God and Creator are forever secure through the atoning blood of Christ. Yes, he has indeed risen. And loved ones, you are forgiven. And your eternal life was made secure through Christ's death and resurrection on that first Easter day. Yes, he has risen, just as he has said, and that stone was rolled away.
Thank you, Susie. Does anybody have something they'd like to sing? We're going to put Morgan on the spot here, but
322.
In which book?
Red.
322. Huh, this is good. We had a plan. We'll stay seated while we do this, unless you think you should stand. Do you think you should stand from this one? We'll see. Stay seated for this. Two verses, yeah. One and three.
Thank you. Don't go away, Morgan. Just a minute, please. We're going to sing one verse of Joy to the World because that's Pastor Scott's favorite hymn, and it is appropriate. It's page 246 in the United Methodist hymnal. So this is for Pastor Scott, if you're listening. And then you can go sit down. Pretty short readings. The first two are from David Jeremiah. He puts out a book every year of devotional. In his Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2, Peter stressed the sovereignty of God in matters related to the crucifixion of Christ. The Jewish leaders weren't in control of the events. Pontius Pilate wasn't the determining factor. The Roman soldiers weren't in charge. None of the civil or religious powers wrecked the plan of Almighty God. Jesus was delivered to death by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Notice the power of the word determined. The death of Christ was a determination made in heaven in order to provide the world with forgiveness of sin and eternal life. From eternity past, our Heavenly Father determined to love you, to save you, and to give you an eternal inheritance at the cost of the blood of His Son, whom He then raised from the dead. Nothing is outside of God's determined sovereign rule, and that knowledge should make us feel safe and secure no matter what we encounter in our lives here on earth. The second one is also from David Jeremiah. But then, in the midst of the disciples' dark despair, Jesus appeared to them, alive from the dead, and said, "Peace be with you." His words meant, "Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what happened before. I am alive from the dead. Everything is new now. It's time to begin again. It's time to continue and complete the work the Father sent me to do." That's what Easter means for us as well. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we can be born again to a new life in Him. As you contemplate Easter, give thanks for the cleansing work of Christ in your life, because He is risen. The last one is a poem Susie wrote years ago, I believe, right? Because I've seen it. It's called An Empty Tomb. An empty tomb, a stone rolled away. Oh yes, it happened that first Easter day. A new song of joy now filled the air, for the body of Jesus was no longer there. For God had done just as He said, He raised our Savior from the dead. Now there is added hope for you and me, for Christ's resurrection was a true victory. Now there is no time for tears and no time for gloom, only time to spread God's word because of the empty tomb. So we thank you, Jesus, that you loved and cared. We thank you, God, that you so lovingly shared. You shared with us your only Son, and with His guidance and love, our lives, battles can all be won. Yes, my brother, this is a new day, and all because of God's love and that stone rolled away.
I was thinking about, last night I was looking at what I was going to print out to say today, and I was thinking about earlier in the week, and have any of you ever watched the show about Oak Island? I remember reading an article about that when I was a teenager. There was an article in Reader's Digest about Oak Island, and I've been kind of following that ever since. And on this show, they've been digging and digging and spending money and spending money, and they haven't found hardly anything yet. I mean, nothing. They've got one little cross, I believe, they found, or maybe a coin, which they believe dates to, you know, several thousand years ago. But they were looking for the Ark of the Covenant. They were looking for pirate treasure. And so far, they've come up empty-handed. And some years ago, I don't remember exactly when, Geraldo Rivera had a big online special. It was the largest, at the time, it was the most viewed cable show ever, when they were going to open up Jimmy Hoffa, or I'm sorry, I keep saying that, Al Capone's vault. They were going to open up Al Capone. There were 30 million people watching this. It was amazing. And they went in there and they found a bottle, empty. And that was it. So Geraldo naturally said, well, this is probably the bottle that he made his illegal alcohol in and sold it. Well, that's speculation. But again, he was somewhat disappointed as were 30 million people. But he said also, you know, I'll be okay tomorrow. But think about those two instances of looking and finding nothing as you hear the story of Easter Sunday. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, and they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. But they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And while they were still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you, while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. In that passage, we celebrate an empty tomb. When nothing was found there, the realization that Christ had risen, that he had fulfilled the prophecies, that he had taken on the sins of the world, so that each of us will have not only life here, but the eternal life that is promised to those who believe in him and who believe after his word. We should be thankful ever to God for taking his Son, giving him to us, and then taking him away from us so that we can be part of that blessed kingdom. And we should never forget that the suffering that led up to that faithful Sunday, that day of resurrection and of raising into heaven, was merely setting the stage for something, the greatest and most glorious gift that we can ever receive, the gift of eternal life from our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Our gracious and most glorious God, we thank you today for this church where we worship, this congregation, our families, all that you have given us, but most especially the gift of your love through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, enabling us to be here with these friends, but also to know that we will be united with them and with you in that eternal heaven where there will be joy and praise and light and glory for eternity. We give thanks for the opportunity to gather here, the opportunity to relive the greatest story ever told, and to remind us that this is not a story just to be spoken on this Easter Sunday, but something to be remembered every day as we spread your word into the world, so that those who do not know thee may rest in peace and in happiness and the joy that only you can give. Be with us today as we go about our way and as we continue to spread your word and your light and your love to those who need to hear about you. This we ask in your holy name. Amen. Please join in our closing hymn, which is "He Lives." It's number 310 in the Methodist hymnal. And we'll be doing three verses. If you would please stand. I'd like to thank whoever arranged the flowers, and I'm sure that there are some here that need a good home. So if you remember what you bought, which I'm not sure I do, I'm going to take some of these to my mom. I'm sure each of you has a special place for them as well. So go now in the peace and the joy and the love of God, remembering always that sacrifice that has enabled each of us, if we but claim his promise, to be able to sit at the right hand of Jesus and share in that eternal love and glory which has been promised to each one of us. Let us now go in peace, depart, take the name of Jesus with you, and be always thankful for all that we have received. This we ask in thy holy name. Amen.